Welcome to the Near Post Local, football and futsal in the capital region, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. I'm Peter Funnell.
We have a very interesting program tonight. It's in two parts. We begin with a very interesting discussion of physiology as it applies to athletes in general, and in particular to football and futsal players. This information is particularly relevant as teams embark on their pre-season training and trial games before season start. Then it's on to part two of our interview with CEO Vikings Futsal. He's got a lot of interesting things to say. But first, things you need to know about the physiology of your players.
Physiology is how the human body adapts to exercise. Let's have a look at the energy systems involved. For the body to perform in sport, there are a number of energy systems it has to rely upon. The duration and intensity of the activity really determines one or more energy systems that are used. An example of an event that uses the alactic anaerobic system is the 100 metre sprint. It produces explosive, short duration, high intensity movements and predominantly uses energy that is already in the muscles. An example of an event that uses the lactic anaerobic system is a 400 metre run. It produces sustained, high intensity movement and uses more energy than the alactic system. Your body begins to react after a minute or two of doing the activity, and in turn you begin to feel the pain in your muscles. An example of an event that uses the aerobic system is a distance running event. Energy demands are lower but need to be sustained for longer periods of time. All sports go across all three energy systems. In team sports, the contribution of each energy system is dependent on the duration, skill, and position of the player. Components of fitness are speed, strength, power, endurance, agility, and flexibility. Let's see how our coach develops these components.
Speed is your ability to move quickly from point A to point B. You can do this through a series of technical running drills or simply by running fast. Strength is the ability of your muscles to apply force. It can be developed easily using body weight exercises or using the external resistance of dumbbells, barbells, or weighted vests. Power is the ability of your muscles to generate force as quickly as possible. You can do this by jumping, hopping, skipping, and throwing. Endurance is your ability to perform an activity for a prolonged period of time with minimal fatigue. You can develop it using various activities such as swimming, running, and cycling. Agility is your ability to change direction quickly. It can be developed through general or highly specific change of direction drills. Flexibility is the range of motion around a joint or series of joints. You can incorporate stretching at the end of your training session or in a specific stretch session at a later time.
Principles of training are specificity, overload, progression, reversibility, recovery, variety, and individualisation. When a coach is planning, it's important that they take into account these principles of training. An example of progression is when a coach gradually increases the training and competition loads so that the athlete will improve their performance. Within this program, there may be a period of overload when a coach chooses to increase volume and intensity for a short time. It's important for coaches to ensure adequate recovery to prevent overtraining, fatigue, injury, and illness. The activities that coaches use in their training sessions need to be specific to the requirements of the sport. Take into account the individual needs of the athlete and include variety to keep things interesting and challenging. Finally, at the end of the season, you need to remember the principle of reversibility. If you don't use it, you lose it. Your athletes should remain active over the off-season to maintain their level of fitness. In this program, we've looked at energy systems, components of fitness, and principles of training. Coaches should take into account all of these factors when planning to get the best result for their athletes. Ask yourself these questions. What energy systems does your sport use? Which components of fitness are most important in your sport, and how can you develop them? How will your training plan incorporate the principles of training?
We continue with the CEO of Vikings Futsal, Alastair Miller. In this particular segment of the interview, we're talking about something that should interest us all: the Vikings Futsal business model, how they generally go about doing their business. Now, we don't go right into the nuts and bolts, but we get some of the key principles. Keeping all the money in the game for the development of the game. And very importantly, owning your own facilities. Creating, building, establishing futsal centres where you can underwrite the training of all the teams and provide the venue unencumbered by other commitments, so that futsal does not endure the chronic infrastructure problems with regard to playing services presently hamstrings football and futsal here in the ACT. This is the way to go. We don't need to be another Vikings Futsal here at the ACT, but we do need to pick up their operating principles. It's plain common sense. Let's have one big futsal and football hub here in the ACT. So let's just hear what Alastair Miller has to say in regard to Vikings.
For the listener, we're talking to Alastair Miller, the CEO of Vikings Futsal. And if you don't know about Vikings Futsal, you really should take the time to find out. Alastair, we've discussed this massive scope of operations. Your business model that underpins this seems to be very, very trim and well-directed.
Well, I suppose when you say trim, you can rest assured we make some very bad decisions spending money.
You're normal then.
That's dead right. And we make the normal bad business decisions that any other organisation makes, and touch wood, we make the same good business decisions that other organisations make. So I wouldn't say we're exactly trim, but being a sport, you have to be trim.
You do.
People have an issue with sports making money.
Yeah, they do.
It's an amazing world. We sell shoes and balls through our marketing arm, and without fail, everybody questions prices, and yet they're quite happy to walk into Amart or Rebel and pay double the price. But because we're a sport, it's this image that's supposed to be free or as cheap as possible.
You said to me once before, and it's stuck in my mind, that you try and capture every dollar in the futsal game.
Yes, we do.
And return it back to the game. Is that a fair summary of what you said to me once?
My attitude is that every dollar that's spent in the sport of futsal, if you can turn that around to be put back in the development of futsal, that's where it belongs. So as an example, rather than go to the travel agent down the road and organise a tour to Brazil for a football tournament or a futsal tournament, if you come to Vikings to organise that tour, you know that any profits made are going to go back into developing futsal. Whereas if you go to the travel agent down the road, it could go into paying off his mansion in Vaucluse. You know, you don't know. And it's the same with shoes and balls. You buy it at Rebel or Amart, sure, the profit goes to Rebel or Amart. You buy it with us, the profit goes back into developing the sport. So we do try and capture every dollar. So we run our own tournaments, we run our own clubs, we run our own merchandising, we have our own online shops, we run our own international tours. We try and encompass the whole sport. We run our own coaching clinics. We now have our own academies. So we try and capture as much of the dollar as possible, so then we can put it back into the sport.
The other thing that you've said in terms of your business model is the creation of these centres. You target a particular area that is demanding futsal, and you set up a centre, and you actually take over or create infrastructure, don't you?
Yeah, so if you take where I am now, we were approached about putting in a two-court outdoor facility in Coffs Harbour. Court time in Coffs Harbour, all we could get was, I think it was 3 hours at the local basketball centre on a Monday afternoon.
Sounds like Canberra, yeah.
So there was a market there to put a facility in. So we've put the facility in, and now we're in the process of doing the logistics, i.e. who's our market? How do we get to them? How do we get people playing the game? End of the day, sport in this area is big, football in this area is big. So, yes, we've now set the centre up, and now we're in the process of marketing to get the comps going.
And Alastair, it seems to me that unless you do something about creating the facilities infrastructure for the sport,
you just can't get ahead. Not easily, anyway.
That's totally correct. And if you take in Melbourne, for instance, we struggle with court time because of particularly basketball.
Yes.
You mentioned in Canberra.
Mm.
One of the issues we have in Melbourne all the time, and I have to say I'm always looking for my own facility there, is basketball gets priority no matter what.
Yep.
So, therefore, we have about 10 centres in the east of Melbourne that only operate on a Friday night. Because it's the only night we can get.
Yeah.
But even with that, if the local basketball club decides they want to shoot hoops for the night...
They bounce you, do they?
They bounce us. So, yeah, getting control of your own facility controls your destiny.
Yeah.
You can't call yourself a sport unless you stop being a gypsy. And I've been through the process of being what I call gypsies. And I mean by that, okay, you have Friday night every week at this centre, and then one in six Friday nights you get a phone call on 24 hours notice, this is on, that's on, you can't have it. So we don't have control over our own facility.
Mm.
So our own members, our own players, they're inconvenienced.
Yeah.
And therefore, in their own minds, they treat us as not a real sport because we can't even provide a continuity of sport.
And that's an important connection, isn't it?
Oh, totally correct. And I explain to people, if I can just bring up an issue that I'm sure your listeners want to ask, why do Vikings and FFA run their nationals at the same time?
Yeah, they do ask that one.
Well, it's not a political thing to ask, but the sad point is that week of the year is really the only time when, A, you can fit your nationals in that doesn't affect other sport, but B, it's when basketball doesn't need those centres. If you go a week later, the basketball comps are restarting.
Oh, that's very interesting.
If you go a week earlier, you're still in Christmas time.
Yep.
Now, someone said to me the other day, why don't Vikings shift? I could have easily given the political answer and said, no, why don't FFA shift? But yep. I fully understand that the timing gets down to the availability of courts.
Yep.
Sadly, in Canberra and in Sydney, basketball gets priority over futsal.
You've made the argument most eloquently for futsal needing to have its own dedicated facilities.
Correct.
I quite agree. I mean, if you want to be taken seriously, you really can't be a sporting gypsy, can you?
Well, you take this Coffs Harbour Centre. We haven't actually started comms here yet, but Monday afternoon here, there's a little group who come down with a coach, and they train from 4 till 5:30.
Mm.
They don't pay us any money.
Mm, mm.
I'm not going to ask them for money.
Yeah.
Because they're just out there on the court training. And my attitude is, if that man there is willing to put his time in to train those children, I'm not going to inconvenience him by saying, oh, to use our facility, I want $2 a head or something.
Yeah.
Whereas if they play at night and they play in a competition, yes, fair enough, you pay. We have another group that come Tuesday. So by having your own facility, you're not just giving a facility to run competitions, get people playing and generate income, but you now have a facility where if, and I know you coach a team, Peter, if you rang me and said, I'd like to coach my team this week, I could say, okay, 8 o'clock Sunday morning, you can have it, and you don't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And by the way, when you get there, there'll be a bag of balls there, and there'll be bibs there, and markers there. Just put them away from me when you leave.
Oh, brilliant, mate.
Now, that's what the beauty of having your own facility does for the sport of futsal.
Correct. And that's the power of your business model. Everything's getting returned back to the game in every sense of the word.
Yep. But in this case, it's not just a case of being seen to make money out of the facility.
No.
Because we have this 24/7,
yep.
If you want to, well, if you can't train at midnight, it's a bad example, but if you want to coach your kids 7 o'clock on a Tuesday morning before school, you can.
Yeah.
And you don't have to pay for it because as part of this club, this facility is here for you to train. And I love to encourage coaching because if there's a person out there who wants to coach their kids how to play the game properly, I want to help them as best I can.
You've got the right idea. Absolutely. And it's the ability of ordinary community coaches to coach their little teams all around the place that hamstrings the development and progress of futsal everywhere, certainly here in the ACT.
Well, that's a problem everywhere. But once again, getting back to the original point, you can't do these things until you get your own facilities.
Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely. I'd like to leave people with that notion that you want to get ahead, you've got to own your facilities. You can't be a gypsy.
That's correct. While you're a gypsy sport, you'll be treated as a gypsy sport by your own members.
Vikings futsal are very strong in Queensland. Can you give us an on-the-spot update on the futsal situation post the storms, the floods and the cyclones, mate? Must have wreaked havoc.
We've had a pretty bad time, and it was quite funny. I emailed out all our staff about 3 weeks ago and just said, look, can everybody give me an update on their area as to any lost time with court? And I was actually amazed at the answers that came in. If I start at the top end, our brand-new four-court stadium in Cairns, which since our last interview, Peter, we had a four-court stadium built for us, which is now the home of futsal in far north Queensland.
Wow.
And I have to say, I'll give him a compliment, Tony Sifuentes, who runs it up there for us.
Mm-hmm.
Tony got 230 teams into that centre.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Plus academies, plus everything else.
Mm.
Well, unfortunately, in the cyclone up there, the sails came off, which is the sort of sides of the roof.
Yep.
But that's all been sorted out, and we're back in action. In Townsville, Fit for Life Centre, which is our once again our home centre there, the City Council took it over as an evacuation centre.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we still don't have it, because now it's the centre where Centrelink are taking it over, and you go there to get your money for any...
Oh, right. So this is all still post-cyclone activity.
Oh, yes, yes. So we still haven't got Fit for Life back. Nothing was damaged in Mackay. Nothing was damaged in Rocky. White Bay, everything was fine. Sunshine, fine. In Brisbane, some very sad stories.
Ah.
The Fernvale Indoor Stadium, which is out in the valley. And you probably saw on TV the damage done into the Lockyer Valley.
Yeah.
The Fernvale Stadium was only about 6 months old, and it was a wooden floor. If you know what wood water does to wood, the last I heard is they're going to have to rip the floor up and re-put it in.
Well, this is a parquetry floor of some sort, I suppose. Yep. Yeah, oh my goodness,
so the water's got in. Redbank Stadium at Ipswich, which is also wood, and the water went 2 metres over the floor.
Oh.
They're going to have to rip it up and put a new floor in, so that's out for a year. The rest of Brisbane was fine. Yeah, at Canmore High School, I heard the school went under, but our hall was actually at the highest part of the school. So it was a bit of luck. With all our bowls clubs, they were all fine. We didn't have any go under. Then in the Gold Coast, everything was fine. Northern New South Wales, nothing. And the other interesting one was Melbourne. Believe it or not, if you remember, about 3 weeks ago, there was flash flooding on a Saturday morning.
Certainly
in Melbourne.
Was, yeah.
Camberwell Stadium, Ashburton Stadium, yeah, all three were badly damaged.
Are you joking? In one hit?
Yeah, the water got in. Camberwell's a very old stadium. I believe we're still going to use it, but I haven't heard the latest. So we did lose a lot of court time, and we obviously we lost a lot of income, but also it caused a lot of inconvenience to our players. You saw on TV what happened in Brisbane. If I can tell you a very sad story on the floods. At our nationals this year, we had a little boy in the under-13 Queensland country team who actually came from Grantham. His parents and he lost their house, lost all their clothing. They had come to the nationals to watch the nationals.
Yeah.
And while they're at the nationals and the flooding's occurring, they lost their house, lost all their clothing, lost absolutely everything.
Oh,
and two of his best mates, his age, were the two little boys killed in town.
Oh, that's awful.
So that was a very sad part of the whole nationals. And we had cases where our whole under-11 team from White Bay, most of them came from Bundaberg. We actually couldn't get them out of town because Bundaberg was totally cut off. But we actually had about three teams who couldn't make it to the nationals because they were cut off, and trying to get a plane was near impossible. And the Rockhampton kids, some did get out, but as you may have seen in the news, because the Rockhampton airport was built below the flood line, the airport went underwater. So you couldn't get anything out of Rockhampton outside of a boat.
So I guess Vikings futsal is in post-cyclone flood recovery.
Well, we still are. We believe it or not, we still are. And if I use Redbank as an example, we've got 47 teams there, and we're trying to find a home from them. We've moved some to Swifts, we've moved some to Centenary, some to Glenella, but that centre's going to be out for, I think we'll allow a year while we try and get another floor in.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So it has had an effect, but I have to say this, Peter, we've been affected, and it sounds terrible, but if you take here in Brisbane, and the football people out there will be interested in this, Ipswich Knights, who are a very loyal futsal soccer club, their clubhouse has been condemned and can't be rebuilt. Western Spirit, which a lot lot of our Open Men players, Open Men futsal players play for Spirit. Mm. They had just built a brand new clubhouse. Well, they're about to start building another one.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was talking to one of the committee members of Moggle, who are in First Division up here. Mm. And Moggle, again, are a big futsal centre. And the water there went right to the roof. All the poker machines are gone. The whole bar's gone. And at the moment, they're negotiating with the council as to whether to rebuild it or not.
Oh, so goodness.
There's been a devastating effect on all sports up here.
Mm.
There was a little note in our local paper about the local cricket club.
Yep.
And this you wouldn't even think about, but the cricket club are basically just now going to fold because in the whole season they got two games in and their clubhouse has now been destroyed.
Oh, wow.
So there's some terrible stories out there. So I suppose we should be thankful that we lost maybe 20, 30 weeks of court time across all our centres.
Mm.
There are some sporting clubs out there that really are on their knees.
They've just been devastated, haven't they?
Well, it is devastating. And Ipswich Knights, as I said, they're a very loyal futsal club. That club, if you go back to its original name, was one of the oldest clubs in Queensland. And it's always been in that spot. And I was talking to the vice president, and he told me that, you know, the club is really down because that clubhouse went totally underwater.
Oh, wow. That's awful.
Well, there's some sad stories out there, and you probably saw on TV what happened in Grantham, and as I said, it really broke our hearts when we found out one of our state players was from there.
Goodness me. Well, Vikings Futsal, certainly quite a go-ahead organisation. You're aimed at the grassroots, and your focus is entirely futsal. I got to ask you a question, mate. Without notice. You ever thought of entering the ACT environment?
Well, we have. My first reaction to entering ACT was, what's the point?
Mm.
There's futsal there. It's really geographically a very small area. So we could go in and start a club in ACT and upset everybody and have people running around saying they're not the recognised body and black ban them and all that stuff. So my attitude is, what's the point? Yes, we would love to be in ACT. Give you an example. I'd love to go in ACT and just do school tournaments.
Yeah.
Because we do get calls from schools in ACT saying, hey, how do we take part in your school tournament?
Yeah.
Why don't you do one in Canberra?
Mm.
So at the end of the day, I wouldn't be looking ever to go in and start a club in Canberra.
Mm.
There's no point. But I certainly would be interested in assisting people in Canberra who wanted help.
Oh, well, that's a terrific idea.
It's a different thing.
That's true.
We're not about, I'm not Darth Vader. We're not about conquering the universe. We're about developing the sport. And we do get phone calls from Canberra people wanting some assistance or can you help us with this? If we can help, we'll do it. But at the end of the day, no, we're not looking to put a flag in Canberra and say Vikings have arrived, you know, look upon us and beware.
Oh, dare I say it, but I think futsal here needs your scope of operations and business model. I certainly think it does, but I guess that's a story for another time. But look,
well, at the end of the day, Peter, there's listeners out there. If anybody would like to ring me and talk about how they could be involved with Vikings, whether it be a team, whether it be a club, I'm quite open to talk and I'm quite open to help.
Well, close on this question. Do you see a day in the future where the FFA will simply embrace Vikings futsal and say, look, your clubs can compete in our competitions, your representative teams can compete, regional teams can compete in our nationals and so on? Do you ever see that day coming?
I would love to say yes. I certainly would say I hope so, but I don't know. One of the issues I've always seen with football bodies right across the country is the short longevity of decision makers, i.e. the employees of these organisations, the boards of these organisations, so that you can talk to someone very logically and intelligently at state level, whether it be Tasmania, ACT or Australia, but 2 years later they may not be there and the next person along says, this is rubbish, why are we dealing with these people?
Yeah, you need some certainty, don't you?
Yeah, and look, we're open to offers. I've met with SFA, and I've always said, yes, we want to be involved with you as long as we just get on and do what we do.
Yep.
Because, quite honestly, I don't think anything we're doing is detrimental to FFA.
I can't see it either. It's just about the game.
But people view it as that.
It's so sad. There's one other thing I wanted to ask you for the listener. Vikings also have a thing called Vikings TV.
Oh, yes.
Now, I think this is fantastic.
I'll give you the background to it. Paul Wadsworth, who works for Sydney New Zealand, he's right into all this stuff.
Mm.
He set the TV station up. We then had one of our ex-National League goalkeepers, Paul Van Dyke, in Brisbane.
Mm-hmm.
He runs a thing called Paulie TV. So if you ever want to watch the Brisbane Premier League soccer, Paul televises all that and shows it on his own TV station on YouTube.
Yep.
So we got together and came up with our own television station.
Mm.
Now, the medium-term aim is that TV station will operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because what we're planning on doing is, if you're in China, if you're in Malaysia, if you're in Europe, you can schedule stuff onto that TV. All you need is the admin password, and you just feed in whatever you're televising, so that we then end up with a TV program. And let's say on a Monday morning, you can click in and go, oh, look, Guangzhou's playing Shanghai in the Chinese National League, 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. I might turn into that. Or, oh, hang on, there's a game in Barcelona at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'll watch that.
And you do this off your desktop or your laptop? Or
yeah, you can do it off your laptop. Just sit there and watch it on your
laptop. Or your iPad, whatever you like.
Yeah, it's all streamed. We have experimented with our last two nationals televising it. And look, it's gone really well. We have had problems. If you want a funny one, we had a situation where the cameraman actually filmed the wrong court. And you probably know from your own experience, do you know how everybody walks into a stadium and the first thing they say is, which is court one?
Yes, exactly right.
Well, our cameraman forgot to ask.
Oh, dear.
So we then advertised on our website that a certain games were going to be shown. He was on the other court televising. So, of course, you can imagine the abusive phone calls we got everywhere.
Indeed.
So, unfortunately, these problems occur. And I always find it amusing, but every tournament we're at, we try and put as big as possible the number one, two, three behind the court, because it's always the first thing people ask when they walk in is, which is court two, which is court one?
In the biggest possible writing, Alistair.
That's dead right. So it has been successful, and we are doing more and more stuff. We televised our little open men and women's world championships from Malaysia in October live. That went really well. So we will be doing more and more.
Mm.
We're certainly going to be televising our regionals in Brisbane and at Easter, our nationals in October, and our nationals next January onto that. And we'll be improving it all the time.
I think this is fantastic. Grab the technology by the throat and you've got it working for you. Another, I suppose I should have said, another aspect of the scope of your operations.
Yes, but once again it gets down to we're providing something for futsal as a sport.
Yes.
For the people who treat futsal as a sport. So the people who log in to watch are looking at futsal as a sport.
Oh, and there's lots of them.
Yep, totally.
There's lots of them. Alistair, this is absolutely fantastic. We'll stay in touch. I think the listener's got a very good idea of the range and scope of Vikings futsal, the underpinning business philosophy and model, and your scope of operations. One hopes that that you kick back from the Queensland sort of post-storm flood and cyclone damage as quick as possible. I'd like to leave people saying goodbye to you for now. I'd like to leave people with that notion that you want to get ahead, you've got to own your facilities. You can't be a gypsy.
That's correct. While you're a gypsy sport, you'll be treated as a gypsy sport by your own members.
Absolutely right. Alistair, you're a visionary, mate. You're an ideas man.
Okay, no problem, Peter.
You have been listening to the Near Post Local on 2XXFM. Where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. Football and futsal in the capital region. Go to the podcast for this program at www.nearpostlocal.blogspot.com. You will find a lot of interesting interviews and items there for the discerning football or futsal tragic. Enjoy your futsal and football. See you next time. Ta-da.
Streets of your town, every day.